We've all heard the stories, and some of us have experienced them firsthand, about those holiday gatherings when dinner table conversations become abrasive and contentious. This highly charged political season will likely contribute to many an animated discussion this week. It can get ugly. So how do we manage to talk and avoid civil war among family and friends? Joining me in studio to talk about it are Dr. Marva Robinson. She's a primary care psychologist with Veterans Association of St. Louis. She's president of the St. Louis Association of Black Psychologists and is also in private practice with Preston and Associates. Patty Bitter is a licensed clinical social worker who specializes in marriage and family counseling. Thank you so much, both of you ladies, for being here. Nice to have you.
Yes, thanks for having us.
Marva, let me begin with you. I would have to say, for those who heard the first segment, and we all listened to it, that the Radcliffes really gave us a lesson on the way these discussions should be handled.
Absolutely. I think that was a great role model. That two people can have opposing views and still walk away loving each other.
Well, as obviously they do. Patty, let me turn to you. There is this anticipation and expectation this is going to be an especially bitter Thanksgiving holiday dinner conversation, perhaps. Do you agree with that?
I think it can be. I think if we set expectations ahead of time, it can be greatly helpful. I was teasing my family. I said I was going to post a sign on my front door that said, "We are Switzerland today." Just to set the expectation for being respectful of each other and mindful of how we do talk about our own views.
Well, that certainly makes a lot of sense, as well as just saying we're not going to talk about politics, for instance. I suppose that's maybe the best way to start. Marva, do you agree?
Well, I mean, I think that is certainly one of the easiest ways to avoid conflict. But I think it's also something to be said where you can have a conversation about politics and have differing views and set a model, such as the Radcliffes, about how you can have a discussion and agree to disagree, especially if there's children present. And we talked about that last year, about needing to set the model for our children as to how to have a conversation even when you disagree with someone.
Yeah. One of the things, Patty, that I think comes into play all too often in situations like this is a little too much eggnog or wine.
I couldn't agree more. I think, I don't know if you know my background, but it's in substance abuse. That's how I started in the counseling field. And alcohol certainly can loosen tongues and take away inhibitions where people will say things that they might not otherwise say. And it's perfectly acceptable to either limit the amount of alcohol available at a party. I know families that have made holidays alcohol-free because they knew that traditionally things got out of hand and they didn't want to repeat that.
We have a number of our listeners who have communicated via Twitter concerning our discussion today. And Eric writes from Bridgeton, "We aren't discussing politics at Thanksgiving unless we go to a bar later." Well, it seems to me that the argument very likely will then just take place at the bar. I want to avoid that sort of thing as well.
Yeah, that's possible. I mean, I could see wanting to preserve that time to not bring up any high conflict topics and just focus on why they're thankful. And yet, you know, in a more relaxed setting where, you know, it may be more appropriate to, you know, joke about something or whatever, to then have that discussion there, but preserving that family time for just that. So that seems like that's a pretty good bargain or
compromise.
Compromise.
And
yeah.
I like what you said earlier, especially when there are children present.
Absolutely.
You know, they are watching us all the time. And I think we really do want to be role models for them, that we can love each other even though we might have disagreements,
Absolutely.
Differing views. We can still be respectful to each other. And frankly, I think if you have a family that enjoys debating, that taking it aside, you know, someplace where there are not children, if you want to have a lively debate, go for it, if that's something that all are in agreement of.
And I suppose if you do it reasonably, having the children there is not a bad thing. I mean, they can learn something from this whole process as well.
Absolutely. I think in high conflict situations, we have the best opportunity to teach our children what we want them to know. So how did you react or respond to election results? How do you respond to certain questions and comments at dinner? I mean, these are the things that we teach our children. If you don't have anything nice to say, you know, or it's okay. Everyone doesn't have to agree with you. So, I mean, I think this time would definitely be great examples in live.
Sure. And where we can disagree in that kind of a conversation without name calling, without resorting to calling each other stupid or,
walking
you know, any
away.
Of those derogatory kinds of comments.
We heard enough of that during the political campaign, didn't we? No one
needed
to carry it over
to
the Thanksgiving. But what if it does get out of hand? I mean, how does the host or hostess or some mediator at the table deal with that? Do you have any suggestions for them?
I think there's a several different things that you can do. I think setting boundaries at the beginning, like you were saying earlier, is a good way to start. So if the hostess says, you know, if the bell rings or if I say, oh, it's time for dessert, that's the cue that we're going to pause the conversation and we'll come back when cooler heads prevail. But
I agree. Having had the conversation ahead of time helps a lot so that if somebody does begin to get heated, maybe somebody's a designated person to go and speak to them privately or take them aside and say, remember, now's not the time.
I think we should point out during this part of our conversation, too, that we put our emphasis on politics because that's because there was so much bitterness during the political campaign. But there are a myriad other subjects that come into play. And I have one here, again, one of the tweets we received. Cora writes, I'm gay and I have a homophobic aunt. I've been having bad dreams about confronting my aunt about it. What do I do? Any advice for her?
Marva said earlier, there are several ways that she can handle that. One is you can choose to not be around that person. That's certainly, some people might call it avoidance. Other people might call it self-preservation, that it's okay to not put yourself in the line of fire from somebody who's really going to be hurtful.
Right. Yeah, I agree. The option or opportunity to have that conversation can go on for days, months, and years, but those 3 hours of dinner time at Thanksgiving, you'll only get that one time. So if that's a huge concern, I may consider reaching out to that aunt in advance, maybe having a discussion about what will and will not be on the table for discussion, or just finding a common ground as to, you know, how far they'll let the conversation go. But, you know, making a decision, do you want that dinner to be a joyous and memorous occasion for positive reasons or not, and picking and choosing.
We have go ahead. Did you want
to
say something?
I was going to say, too, that in another option, and remember, these are all just options, and you get to sit with each one and feel what feels best to you. Certainly approaching the aunt ahead of time and saying, I don't know if you're aware of just how hurtful your comments are, you know, and sometimes that might make a difference. And sometimes it might not, and then you know.
Exactly.
Right. We have a tweet here from Hillary, not the Hillary, I'm sure, but from Hillary. Says, I will have a squirt gun on the table for use on anyone who brings up politics. That seems a little extreme. Patty, you're getting a charge on
I
that.
I am. I think that's hilarious and might really work for that family.
It's not the same thing as a bell, but it does have the same
result. It's not the same thing as a bell, but every family is different and responds differently. So if she knows that that's what works for her family, then by all means, if that's your way of preserving your dinner, then go for it.
All right. Well, I want to get the listening audience into this conversation as well, so I'll give the phone number now. 382-8255 is our number. That's 382-TALK. Send us an email if you like at talk@stlpublicradio.org, or if you would prefer to send that tweet, we'll take him at STL on air. Let's take a call. Tony joins us from Kirkwood. Tony, thanks for being with us. Go ahead.
I was calling. I'm kind of chuckling myself with the squirt gun, but there was an article that surfaced that was out of the Minneapolis Star Tribune. And, you know, I think it was the op-ed, but the guy said, you know, if your parents voted for Trump, don't go to the Thanksgiving dinner. I thought that was terrible, but I'm just baffled that it's come this far. That look at the other elections over the years, to 2004, whatever. If it was 1988 and you didn't like Michael Dukakis, you didn't like the elder Bush. I mean, I don't think it ever came this far. And I'm laughing at the left because, they're the ones causing all the division. Donald Trump's never held office before, so how could he cause any division? He's never held political office. anyway, I just find it bizarre that it's come this far, and I think it's very sad, and we'll move forward as a country like we always do, and he'll be a fine, defiant leader, and I think we'll be fine, and he'll be a strong, firm leader for our country, and happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Same to you, Tony. Thanks for the call.
Same to you.
Well, you know, I guess we could argue with Tony about, you know, as to whether he was a divisive candidate or not, but that's something we can save for his Thanksgiving table, I guess. Is yelling always bad?
You know, my mother would always say it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
I agree wholeheartedly.
I guess it's the words that are being yelled. So if you yell at me, I love you, I'll take it. But if it's something not so pleasant, you know, that may not be a good thing. Yeah. So it all depends on how you say it, and also the dynamics of the family. Some families tend to talk at a louder pitch than others, so a visitor may think it's yelling, but to the family, that's just their normal tone. So,
and when I'm working with couples, oftentimes what I remind them about is it's how they say it that matters. It's the how. And if the end result is that you want the other person to hear you, you might need to consider how you're communicating the message. Mm-hmm. It makes a difference in whether or not we're heard.
One of our tweeters has also suggested what we're doing this year is we're just not inviting the people we know that are most vocal in their views on whatever it might be, politics or social issues, what have you.
You know, for that, and that is certainly their decision, but I think, as you brought up, that there's so many other things to discuss during the holiday besides politics that it could be a missed opportunity. Unfortunately, I think we've all heard about the bus crash in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So certainly for my table, we will be discussing ways in which we can send care packages or write letters to the children at the elementary school, a way to lend support. And so we don't even have the idea of discussing politics, but how can we help to support those who are hurting? And so there's other ways that you can take the dinner conversation. It doesn't have to be a divisive conversation.
And being thankful for
Absolutely.
What we do have and the relationships that are around our table, because there are families that will have missing members this year.
Absolutely.
And that's sad.
That is all in line with a tweet we got from Aaron in University City, who asks, what conversations are worth having? Certainly what you, Marva, what you just suggested
Absolutely.
Is certainly worth having. What conversations are worth having? What level of avoiding conflict is productive, and what level is unhealthy?
When I think about avoiding conflict, we're talking about the Thanksgiving dinner table. So we're talking about what is it that you want for that dinner. We're not talking about avoiding conflict forever and in every situation. We're talking about, you know, one of the things I teach couples is to, if I have an issue with my partner or my spouse, that I will approach them and say, is now a good time? And if it's not a good time, then we find a time to talk about that. So it's not avoiding across the board.
Are we making too much of this by having this discussion? I mean, as the earlier caller suggested, that, you know, there are arguments that go back a good many years for politics and other things. Do you think that so much damage is done that we need to talk about it the way we're talking about it?
I think it's always good to have discussions like these. I mean, I think last year it went over very well, certainly as someone who works with veterans, you know, having discussions about good topics and what to be thankful for, things that we always discuss. Because I think if you try to put yourself in someone else's shoes and get outside of yourself for a moment, you can appreciate things a little bit more, stretch yourself to consider other topics to discuss. But I think it's always good to talk about how to have healthy discussions.
And I think it's worth having these conversations, because this election cycle was so vitriolic and hurtful to so many people. And frankly, we have a saying, hurting people hurt people. Mm-hmm. And I think there are a lot of hurting people out there. And so being able to elevate the conversations, to be able to teach people or remind people to talk about things in a manner that they want to be talked to, mm-hmm. you know, to be able to voice your opinion without denigrating the other person.
It goes back to the Radcliffes and the way they handled the conversation. I've heard people suggest, for instance, that in having these conversations where you know the person across from you has an opposing point of view, to say something like, please help me understand where you're coming from. I don't quite get it. Can you explain to me how you got to where you are?
If you're going to say that, I would really encourage you to be honest about whether you're just asking so that you can then make your point.
Mm-hmm.
Because that just stifles conversation, you know, rather
Absolutely.
Than trying to understand.
Yeah, and
person.
That goes back to trying to put yourself in someone else's shoes. If you really are trying to understand a different position, then that's a great question. Because, you know, if you're looking to learn and see why someone holds on to a certain belief, that's awesome. But again, if the whole time they're talking, you're planning a rebuttal, that's not really a healthy way to have a conversation.
And they're not going to feel heard if yeah. that's the case. They're just going to feel set up, really.
Yeah.
I guess I'm cynical enough to think that is almost too genteel, that most people in most situations aren't going to have that kind of calm approach to it. Uncle Louie is always going to be at the table, and you know how he is, right?
Right.
Let's take another call. We'll bring in Sandy calling from St. Louis. Sandy, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. Hey, just two real quick comments. I've been a lesbian for 45 years, or probably before that, but until I obviously knew it, and we're bringing my partners to the house. We never had the conversation of who this is, or I didn't feel the need to tell them I'm a lesbian. I think they know. They know you as well as you know yourself. And any other lesbians or gays out there, that constantly having to sit your parent down and have that coming out party, I think is unnecessary. They're going to love you or they're not going to love you. And they know the facts about who you are. That's number one. And number two, talk about something else on Thanksgiving. These people that you're looking across the table at aren't going to be there in a few years. Don't cheat yourself by talking about something you can talk about some other day. And you can then have a serious conversation. But lighten up, have a good time, and just enjoy those people because they're not going to be around.
Sandy, thank you for the call. Mara,
yeah.
What do you think? That's pretty good advice.
Yeah, I agree. That was sort of my statement, is that you could have other opportunities to have that conversation. So you have to think about what is your goal for Thanksgiving dinner, for it to be divisive or talk about something that they may already know or something that could be done in advance or, you know, next month.
Don't go to the Thanksgiving dinner determined that you're going to make a point or prove a point.
Agreed. And I really like what she said about those people may not be there in a year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, some of us have experienced sudden tragic deaths
that
we did not see coming. So appreciate the people that are there.
It's not always only the question of the older people at the table. Sometimes there are tragedies involving younger ones as well.
Absolutely.
We have to take a break. Let's do that now. We'll continue the conversation. I'll ask those that are on the line to please wait. We'll get to your calls when we come back. I'm talking with Dr. Marva Robinson, a primary care psychologist with Veterans Association of St. Louis. Also, Patty Bitter is with us, a licensed clinical social worker, a marriage and family counselor. Back to continue the conversation in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Okay, there often at the dinner table is someone who likes to bait the conversation. We all know who they are. Maybe it's Uncle Louie again. Who knows? How do you deal with this man or woman who likes to just, you know, get things going?
Well, you've already answered it because you know that individual. So you can see the trap before it's even set. So it's always good to try to either take the road of killing them with kindness or not reacting. You know, so if there's someone who looks for that reaction, you don't give them that, then they'll go on to someone else. But I think having a plan to not let them win may be a good strategy to start with that person.
Uh-huh. Any thoughts, Patty? Same, you're right.
Agreed. Don't take the bait.
Right, in sync with that. Let's bring in another caller. Joyce joins us from Brighton, Illinois. Joyce, thanks for being with us. Go ahead.
Thank you so much for your program. I listen all the time.
Great.
I've never called a talk show before, so you have to understand this really got my mojo going.
Great.
But our family was small, and as one of your guests said a while ago, there are several who are not here this year. But in the nuclear family I grew up in, we all knew how we felt, but we loved and respected each other enough that it just was not a topic for discussion.
All right. Well, I think we're all agreed that that's one way to approach it.
Absolutely.
What's your advice for restraint? Do you have any thoughts about what we can do to hold back?
I think it's important for you to know what your values are. And if my values are that I love you and that family's important to me, then that's going to take priority over opinions that I might have. The other thing that I like to tell people is if I do start to get upset, remember when you fly on a plane, one of the first things a flight attendant teaches you is to put on your own oxygen mask first.
Absolutely.
Breathe, because if you put it on your child and you pass out, you're no use to your kid. So the same thing applies here. You know, breathe. Keep breathing. Take some time to calm yourself down before you try to engage in a conversation that might be emotional for you.
Yeah, well, one of our tweeters also wrote meditation is something you can certainly consider. That's kind of what you're talking about.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Taking deep breaths. I teach all the time about breathing from the diaphragm, a deeper breath, and also asking yourself before you speak, do I want to be right or do I want to be happy? Uh-huh. And so if you want to be happy, consider if that statement really is necessary. And if you have to be right, just focusing on how you relay what you want to say versus the words that you choose.
If someone does get out of line and maybe goes over the top, what do you do? Do you kick them out?
I think I would see that as a teachable moment. Uh-huh. Cooler heads must prevail. The hostess would have a way of putting things on pause, or if everyone just kind of looks at that individual until they finished venting and, you know, ask them, well, do you feel better now? Mm-hmm. That sometimes is a non-direct way of saying, I think you may have gone a bit over the top. But kicking them out, I don't think that really resolves anything. So trying to turn it into a teachable moment may be another way to go.
Thoughts, Patty? I mean, get out the squirt gun is one.
Get out the squirt gun. Yeah, yes. And I think if somebody is really offensive, it's okay for a few of the other family members to maybe take that person aside and
absolutely
have a chat. Mm. You know, not physical, please.
Yeah, sure. No, we never want to.
Yes, just a reminder that, wait, you know, let's make it this a pleasant gathering.
We have Mary on the line with us here, and apparently she's experienced this at a wedding. Let's find out. Mary, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Hi. Yes, I was at a family wedding 2 weeks ago, and it wasn't between the bride's family and the groom's family that were disagreeing about the politics. Remember, this was a few days after the election. It was within the bride's family. We have family members that are very liberal and family members that are very conservative. And, of course, after 10 decades of time together, we all know each other's stripes. But the groom had said, we have one day of mourning, and then we're going to celebrate the wedding. And I thought that was so thoughtful and sweet, because he just disarmed everyone by saying, you know, don't bring your anxieties or your gloating to my very special sacramental wedding. And it did work. And I think that what your two therapists, they, you know, they could open up shop on corners, because it's so obvious and so thoughtful and so generous, the different things that they're saying. One thing that I am very sad to say is that I have found that the media is a problem. The media is keeping it in our forefront. And unfortunately, our leaders, all stripes, are not coming out and strongly saying enough is enough. And I said to my family members, you need to do yourself a favor, and you need to start opening up your world a little bit. You need to be watching various radio programs and various TV stations. You know, watch a little Fox News, because there is some humanity in all of us. Watch a little NPR or PBS. I mean, of course, listen to NPR. But
there
even
you go.
If you don't agree, you know, you need to be watching these different programs so you understand the perspective and the humanity and empathize a little bit, because no one person has the answer. I do think that on Thanksgiving, the tradition maybe this year could be started quickly. People don't need a grand gold invitation to go on a little fox, gobble, turkey trot, or a volunteering at a soup kitchen, or doing something, taking their family to a place, going ice skating even, if they don't want to be doing something that they really out of their realm of comfort zone. But starting those traditions, because I don't care what stripe politic you have, that is something that is needed in our world, and the government cannot do everything, and people cannot do everything, but each of us could give back a little bit, and that would quell our anxieties. You know, as a parent, you can sit in bed all night long worrying about where is your 18-year-old and work yourself into a tizzy. And that's basically what I see people doing right now. As the couple said earlier, the sky is not falling. The sky will not fall.
Mary, thank you. Thank you so much for the call. Well, Mary, among other things, suggests we just wear people out before we sit down so they don't have the energy to talk, perhaps, which may not be a bad idea. With regard to are we making too much of this, a question that I raised a little while ago, we have an email from Ellie who says, no idea we're making more of this, and we need to. The Southern Poverty Law Center has documented over 700 acts of hateful aggression against people of color and women since the election of Donald Trump. Many of these attacks are happening in schools, and others are out in the adult world. So things are going on out there. I think maybe the media is making too much of. What do you think? I mean, there is an atmosphere today, and that can't be denied.
There is, and
absolutely.
I am hearing, as I'm sure Marva is too, of acts of hatred, violence towards people. I feel sad about it. I think some people are using the election as an excuse for aberrant behavior, for bad behavior, and that's. When has that ever been really okay? That's not okay.
No.
You know, take responsibility and behave appropriately. Now I sound like a mom, don't I?
Well, that's all right. Moms are good. Moms are a pretty good influence in most of the families that I know. What do you think, Mom?
I mean, make no mistake, there have always been hate crimes documented and undocumented against people of color. And there clearly has been an uptick in such since the election. And there's, unfortunately, no real plan in place to decrease that anytime soon. So there are genuine fears for individuals regarding hate crime and what is to come. And it's a real conversation that does happen across tables, even knowing someone who may get pulled over. You know, it is a reality. And so we don't want to make light of it. Certainly. And at the same time, you also want to preserve space to do self-preservation, hence being able to carve out some time to focus on being thankful and planning what, you know, how you can move forward in a healthy way.
Yeah. Let's take another call. Joe from Muskuta, Illinois is in the line of force. Go ahead, Joe.
Hi, Mr. Marsh, and thanks for you and your callers. A longtime listener and first-time caller.
Thank you.
You bet. I think one of the main things is and a conversation you want to have, an educated conversation. And an educated conversation means that you have to learn. And so what you do is instead of rebutting or listening, instead of listening to rebut, you listen to learn. And if you set that parameter maybe at the preference of the conversation, then you can have healthy conversation.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, Joe. Well, I guess that's kind of what we're talking about, is having an educated conversation.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's good conversation skills. So if you listen to someone and you're able to summarize what they said, then that's an indication that you really were listening to what they were saying. So, yeah, having good conversation skills are important.
Well, along these lines, we have an email from Richard who writes, "You keep referring to a difference of opinions between guests as causing problems, but this year it is just as likely to be a difference of facts that creates tension." And that gives it somewhat a different flavor, because if you say something that I know is wrong and I want to say that's wrong, I mean, that can be the flashpoint. But nonetheless, you want to correct the facts, or should you just pull back from that?
I mean, I think you can correct the facts, but if the response you get is that someone is not willing to listen or hear, then to keep rebutting that is just to only intensify the conversation. So then it goes back to, what is the goal?
Well, and one of the things that I'm experiencing, and I laughed because I had a conversation with somebody who voted for a particular candidate and was adamant about the facts. And the words that that person used were identical to the words that someone that I'd had a previous conversation with who voted for the opposing candidate had said. So I think sometimes, too, the facts that we're saying, they're beliefs that we have. And the truth is maybe out there someplace. I'm not sure. But our beliefs are strong.
Yeah.
And even in couples counseling, if I have a belief about you, my spouse, it's really difficult to change a belief. A lot harder to change that than it is to change perhaps conversations and things like that. So it's important that we know that. And it goes back to knowing yourself and behaving in a way that you, getting back to role modeling for kids, and not just for kids, but for other adults too.
I think the expression is one man's fact is another man's fiction. So that's
that opinion, be, you know.
Exactly. Going back to our tweets here, Laura in St. Louis writes, how to get over the feeling of betrayal, even though I knew family members would vote a certain way. She feels betrayed by that. That's a little different slant on what we're talking about. Marva, any thoughts about how to overcome that?
That can cut as a very deep emotional wound.
Yeah.
Again, I think acknowledging or setting what your goal for dinner is. Mm-hmm. Is it to be able to have dinner with my family and focus on this? Is it to come together to volunteer at a food pantry? Whatever that goal is, keep that in mind and keep that as the focus. There will be plenty of other times to hash out the differences. But again, you know, this Thanksgiving in 2016 will only happen one time. Opportunities to debate will be there forever.
Well, that brings to mind something else I'll just throw into the conversation. We're talking about the Thanksgiving dinner, but these kinds of conversations can blow up in the workplace as well. Is there a different set of rules for the workplace?
Well, you know, I work for the federal government, so the rule is we don't discuss it. So we just have respect for those in office, and that is what it is. So we are not allowed to delve into those conversations. Now, in the therapy room, if I'm working with a vet who does want to process their feelings, of course, as their clinician, I'm there to support that process and respect what they have to say. But as far as with coworkers, it's off limits.
Yeah. Well, that's for the federal government,
yes.
Federal employees. You know, any thoughts on that, Patty?
Actually, I wanted to go back to the gal who felt betrayed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
if good. I could touch on that, because
by
I've
all
actually
means, we've got a minute left.
Okay, I've thought a little bit about that. That in my family, I would be willing to bet that at least four parties were voted for. And I love that. I love that I raised people to think for themselves. And the fact that we may have voted for different people is still something that's a disagreement. That's all it is. It's not a reflection of how much I love you or how much you love me. It's simply a difference of opinion, and we need to remember that.
A final thought, Marva?
You know, focus on being thankful. I highly encourage individuals to volunteer and donate their time somewhere. There is a lot of hurt in our city, and so if we can be a help to someone else, be a blessing to someone else.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Well, it's Thanksgiving.
We all agree. That's right. Let's not forget the day it is.
Mm-hmm.
To many, the best holiday of the year by virtue of the fact that it brings people together.
Great.
So let's keep them together. Thank you so much, Marva. Great to see you again.
Good
thank
to
you
see
so
much,
Marva Robinson, Dr. Marva Robinson, and Patty Bitter. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
I hope we help some people out over the holiday.
Yeah.
Okay. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.